Howdy folks, this is 5150 for Hacker Public Radio. I thought you might find it instructive for this episode if I told you about a problem I had with my home server a week or so back and what I did to solve it. You may have heard me mention that I purchased a used rack server a couple years ago to help teach myself Linux server administration. It's an old HP DL-380G3 with dual single-core Xeons and 12 gig of RAM. In other words, it's a P4-era system. It came with two 75 gig SCSI drives in RAID 1, which I dedicated to the OS. The seller wanted more for additional internal SCSI drives, and those old server drives are limited to only 120 gigabyte anyway. I plugged in a PCIX SATA adapter and connected a 750 gig drive externally and mounted it as my slash home. I moved the 2 gigabyte USB drive that it had on my Chumby over to the server, as opposed to transferring the files. I really don't think I had enough room on the 750 gig drive anyway. And it shows up as under slash media slash USB 0. I installed Linux Server 10.04, recently updated 12.04. And you may wonder why I used Ubuntu Server, but I found out CentOS, which I wanted to install, didn't support the RAID controller out of the box. Yeah, you could install the right packages and make it work, but I just took the easy way out, and I'd been frustrated at that time by Debian Lenny on lack of support for up-to-date packages on the desktop, and I really didn't want to repeat that with my server. So with 75 gigabytes dedicated to just the OS and application packages, you can imagine my surprise when, after an update and upgrade, I had a report that my slash boot was full. It was until I looked at the output from FDisk that I remembered that the Ubuntu installer created a separate partition for slash boot. At the risk of oversimplifying the purpose of slash boot, it is where your current and past kernel files are stored, as well as the configuration for grub. Unless the system removes older kernels, as most desktop systems seem to, the storage required for slash boot will increase with every kernel upgrade. And if you're following along on the show notes, I've included my output in the DF file before calling the kernel. And the one that you're looking at is third one from the bottom. That's slash dev slash ccis slash c0d0p1. So that's the first partition on the hardware RAID array. And you can see that's dedicated to slash boot, or mounted on slash boot. And I have 100% full, zero free space available. And then below that in the show notes, I've included directory listing of files that are in slash boot. And if you just read down through the numbers, you can see I've got every kernel in there from 2.6.32-24 clear up to 3.2.0-31. And I ran across some articles that suggested I could just use uname-r to identify my current running kernel. And that, like I said, that was 3.2.0-31. There's some files in there for -32, but if you look, they're not complete. And I think that's what where it came off the rails. It was trying to do a kernel update and ran out of room. But I found a few articles that suggested I just delete files that don't match that number. That really didn't seem prudent. I did a little further research, and fortunately, I found what seems to be a more elegant solution on Ubuntu.com. And links in the show notes, but it's Ubuntu. Let me just correct that in my show note, the dynamic process as we go along doing the podcast. Ubuntu.com/2011/how-2-remove-unused-old-kernels-on.html. And apparently the name of the HTML file was based on the title of the, well, the title they gave the file inside the document, and it must be truncated. Okay, first step from the article is verify your running kernel. We already talked about that. Do uname-r. And like we said, Linux will often keep older kernels, so you can boot into an older version of Grub. And I mean, this is a fail-safe. You've probably seen that when you boot in your desktop. There is a safe version. Sometimes there'll be older kernel versions on your Grub, and that's so if there's a Grub update and all of a sudden nothing works, you can't get in. You can maybe try going back to the previous kernel and see if that'll let you in, let you try to fix stuff. In fact, I found Fedora has environment variable, environment setting to let the OS, or to tell the OS just how many old kernels you want to maintain. And that's the line install only underscore limit, and it's located in /etc/yum.com. And if anybody knows of an analog for Debian Ubuntu, please please add it to the comments for this episode, because I would really like to know. I looked for it, couldn't find anything. The reason for that is I would like, so I don't have to do this all the time, I would like to limit the server to 2 or 3 old kernel versions and have it do its own cleanup. I know about the I know about the install only limit. Excuse me. Thanks for bearing with me. My cold still with me. Where was I? Okay, Linux will keep older kernels. You can boot into an older version of Grub, or from Grub, older kernel version from Grub. And like I said, I found out that Fedora has environment setting to, you can set just how many old kernels you want to keep. And I'll mission to you on this. I'm running Fedora 15 still. I haven't had time to do the in-place upgrade. And my laptop here, the one I'm actually working on right now, has Broadcom Wireless. And I tried to compile the driver for the wireless card. Didn't have much success. And then all of a sudden, boom, got a kernel update. It worked. This is right after I got the machine. So great. You know, the wireless worked, went on for a couple months like that, boom, next kernel update, and everyone since then, wireless doesn't work. So it's not recommended, folks, I tell you that. I understand that, but I've been booting into an older version of the kernel where the wireless worked. So I had to extend that variable to a ridiculous amount to avoid having that kernel that I can actually use wiped out as the new ones come in. Okay. So we've used uname.r to know what our current kernel is. And then the next step is list the kernels currently installed on your system. And you can do that with dpkg space dash dash list space pipe space grep space linux dash image. So in other words, you're looking for packages that include linux dash image. Those are your kernels, or one of the files associated with your kernels. And when I looked at that, the output from that, it was essentially all those kernels that are in /boot. They were still installed and in use. So the next step is to call all the kernels but the current one. And please, this command that I'm about to give you, don't type it in by listening to this podcast. Find the show notes on hackerpublicradio.org. Copy them verbatim. This worked for me doing it this way, but it would be very, very easy to really mess up your system doing it the wrong way, or by making a mistake in this command. Now, I'm not very good at reading regular expressions, but I could see what it was trying to do there. What it's doing is, again, it's using the Linux image as a string to look for, and then right behind that, of course, is the kernel number. What it's doing is a comparison of the kernel number to the same number it's returned by uname-r. And so it's returning all of those Linux image files that do not match the current kernel version number. And it's running that through sudo aptitude purge. And so the command is sudo space aptitude space dash capital P space purge space tilde I Linux dash image dash backslash opening square bracket 0-9 backslash closing square bracket backslash opening parentheses backslash bang character or exclamation point, whichever you want to call it, backtick, and that is the one that's on the same key as the tilde, the lowercase, generally on a lot of keyboards. Uname space dash r backtick backslash closing parentheses. And in that whole thing, from the end of Purge, and then there's a space, and there's no other spaces in the whole rest of it, except in the uname-r, between the uname and the dash r, of course. So it's, you know, it's tilde I, and then Linux right there. It's not, there's no space there. And my particular contribution to this command is the dash capital P after aptitude, because that will prompt you to confirm to take those actions. So if you look at what says it's going to purge and your current kernel version is in there, don't let it do it, obviously. Finally, the last step is make sure grub reflects your changes. So the next command would be sudo space update dash grub 2. And that just makes sure that what's in the grub configuration files, kernel system there, matches what you actually have now on your system. And really, as it was going through the previous command, as it was going through and eliminating one kernel at a time, I could see it updating grub at the end of each of those steps. So I think this is just to make really, really sure everything is update. So I wouldn't eliminate this last step, but I think it's probably already all done for you at this point. Now, this was more than a week ago, and it's worth noting I still don't have that -32 kernel update. So it may have told it, well, once it tried to put in the -32, don't try it again. That may be a consequence. I'm going to take a wait and see attitude, and if it doesn't ever seem to do a kernel update again, I'm going to have to, you know, do something to kickstart it and get it updating kernels. And if I find out I need to do that and find out what I have to do to make it do that, I'll add it to another podcast later. But now, last thing at the end of the show notes, I did a df again and saved it, and my slash boot is now 14% of 100%. And then below that, I have the output of a directory listing on my slash boot. And the only kernel files that you see in there are associated with 3.2.0-31. Okay, like I said, this worked for me. Seemed to work really well. I am not usually a fan of running a command with a whole bunch of regular expressions without understanding exactly what it was going to do to the system, but I thought with the dash P, I was fairly safe. Turns out it was. So if you've got a Debian or Ubuntu server, because I don't think you're going to run into this on a desktop unless you've created a slash boot, though you may want to look in there. It may be filling up with a bunch of kernels. Worked for me. Your mileage may vary, and buyer beware and all that. So this has been 5150 for Hacker Public Radio. Have a great day. You can contact me at 5150@linuxbasement.com. You can find my other contact information at thebigredswitch.drupalgarden.com, and stay happy till we see each other next time.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.